Sacramento.
Glory, glory, Sacramento.
Roro with the goal.
Roro's going to take a shot. Oh, my. Do you believe it?
Cameron Nwassa charging forward, looking for a team to strike on distance. And it rattles in. Cameron Nwassa, the Sacramento King.
That it was less about if and more about when Sacramento was going to join Major League Soccer. Well, folks, when is today? Your when has arrived.
Hello, Sacramento, and welcome to the Rise of the Republic podcast. We are back edition. Rich, how are you?
Man, I'm doing really good. It was a huge bummer to start this podcast and get one game into the Sac Republic season and just shut it on down. We could have probably stuck around and, you know, updated you on the news throughout the last 3 months. But, you know, I think there's a lot of other sources for that. And I don't know how big the audience is for just wanting to hear updates on a postponed season. So apologies there, but there are a lot of other great Sac Republic podcasts that probably, did a better job than us on keeping you updated. But we're a little more casual. We're a little more new to podcasting on soccer, a lot more new on podcasting to soccer. I'm a lot more new to the sport itself. So just wanted to keep it kind of light and interest on stuff that I'm, keep the topics on stuff that interests me. We are going to record a sort of a mini episode that may drop separately or may drop at the beginning of this episode, just on a news roundup of what's going on with the Sac Republic. But, you know, right now there are games being played around the world, and in particular in the English Premier League, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Before we like really get into it and kind of explain what we're going to be doing today, I just want to give a big thank you to our listeners sticking around and, you know, keeping up with us. We kind of put out our first tweet regarding the podcast today, the 30th of June, and it seemed to get a good response. So I just want to put a big thank you out to our listeners for, you know, still sticking with us and being ready to listen when we are able to get back at, with this USL season. Do you want to get into what we're doing today with the Premier League stuff?
Yeah, so obviously, we've got our USL team. We've got our American team. Going to be an MLS team. Still excited about that. Sac Republic, there's no questions about it. Look, we're not only are we local, but we're fully invested in watching them rise to the MLS. But yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I think there's a lot of Americans that also have an international team. You think is that pretty common?
Yeah, like a team, like a club from another country. I would say, yeah, that's the most common. Is you have like an American team you support, which in this case, at least for the both of us and probably most listeners here, is going to be the Sacramento Republic. And then, like myself, I also support Liverpool, and those are the two teams I'm gonna, you know, really really keep up with throughout both seasons and just watch them. And what's nice is, you know, it's fairly unlikely that they're ever going to play each other, which is not the same in Europe, where I know a lot of Americans that first start getting into soccer and they're like, I like Dortmund, I like Roma, I like Man U. And it's like, well, those teams might play each other within the next 3 years. So where's your filthy really lie there? So what we're deciding to do is we're going to give you a big roundup on the English league and give you some bios on the teams and see if you, if any of our listeners want to pick any of those teams. And we're also going to do all the top five leagues in Europe, which is England, Italy, France, Spain, and Germany. So we're going to round up all those leagues, do the more really big teams in those leagues, and hopefully we can help the listeners out a little bit. But I know, Rich, you kind of are Premier League teamless in a way, if you want to give you a little bit of a background about your teams.
Yeah, so outside of the Czech Republic, I don't really have any allegiance to any soccer team. Dating way back, for a couple of years, I tried to follow Aston Villa, and they immediately got relegated and have really struggled ever since. They're back in the Premier League now, but it also looks like they're going back down again. And I never got rooted in any community. I never found a group of supporters, common supporters. I don't know what the problem was exactly, but I never felt welcomed in either. I don't know. I just, there was nothing to hold me into that fandom, and eventually I lost touch. Additionally, I think that right now, with so many sports on hold, it's a great time to look to soccer, specifically international soccer in some countries that have not have gotten past the worst of the coronavirus. England's resumed play. I think Germany was one of the first countries to resume soccer. I know Korean baseball got started very early. And that's I just saw a bunch of people I'm mostly a basketball guy. I cover the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. And I saw a ton of people on my Twitter timeline choosing their Korean baseball team. So if that's what's going on, I think that a lot of people are looking for an English Premier League team as well. And I certainly am. And so this little mini series of episodes, we're going to try to find me a team. And we also want to make it accessible for anyone that is looking for their own Premier League team. So we're gonna run through the majority of the teams. How many are we gonna do, you think?
I think what I want to do for this first episode, because the Premier League is so accessible here in the States, as opposed to some of the other leagues around Europe, I think we should go really in depth on the Premier League. Maybe break that into two episodes. So I want to do the top six. And Rich, because I know you're more of an underdog fan, you don't really need your team to be winning trophies or even fighting for trophies every year. You kind of like to struggle with teams. Figured we might as well do a second episode in the Premier League about some of the lesser prominent clubs around England.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how we should do it. We're eventually probably going to go at least 20 teams deep, but at least 18. It's tough because there's a lot of teams that just at the bottom of the league, they're going to be in and out. And, quite frankly, it's really hard to even watch those teams because you can't really see their games if you're in America. And we're talking Champions League, Championship, talking League One, League Two, that sort of thing. So, yeah, so today we're going to do the top six, but before we get into the in-depth breakdowns of those top six, let's just talk a little bit about the process of finding a team in general. So you have a team. Tell me how you found your Premier League team.
So I'm a Liverpool fan through and through. I've over the last probably 6 years now that I've followed Liverpool, I have truly fallen in love with the club, but there's no magnificent story of three generations of supporting Liverpool, or I went to England and I went to a Liverpool game and I heard You'll Never Walk Alone and I fell in love with the atmosphere at Anfield. I don't have any story like that. I bought FIFA. I think it was FIFA 13. Was the first year FIFA I bought and started just browsing around the different leagues and looking at different badges. And I saw Liverpool had a team and I knew that the Beatles, which I'm a huge Beatles fan, is from Liverpool. I'm like, hey, I'll be a Beatles or I'll be a Liverpool fan. And it turns out, and I didn't know anything about them other than they're from Liverpool. And it turns out they're actually a pretty predominant team. They have had their struggles, but in the last 5 years where I've really been supporting them, they've they've come on top, and they ended up winning the clinching the Premier League title within the last week. So I've been celebrating that. And I think that's a pretty common story for a lot of Americans. I think a lot of Americans start getting interested in soccer culture as it's kind of become more prominent, and then decide they're gonna pick a team to support. But looking back, I've realized that there's so many different cultures behind each club, each country that a league is in, and like I said, the club within those leagues have such a rich history that you could be supporting something that maybe you're not necessarily against, that, but you weren't aware of. Like, for instance, there's a team in Scotland. There's two teams in Scotland, Celtic and I believe it's Rangers or Reading in Scotland. But one's a Protestant team and the other's a Catholic team. So if if you're all of a sudden supporting a Catholic team and you're not Catholic, I mean, you might feel kind of silly. I mean, I'm not judging anyone that has made that choice, but just kind of my point being that I think it's probably better to take it slow, be a fan of the game before you're a fan of the team, and do a lot of research about the culture behind a team that you're connected to. And I kind of want to do that with this and give a really broad background of some of these teams so people feel a little more connected to a team. For instance, I didn't know Everton was from Liverpool as well at the time that I chose Liverpool FC, and I'm more of an underdog kind of guy too. So if I had known that, I probably would have been a toffee, to be honest, but I'm not, yeah. Not no take backsies.
That, yeah. Interesting. I'm not going to be choosing my team today. I'm not going to be choosing my team on this episode. I think at the end of our series, I'll have to decide, and that'll be that. And I'll, maybe I won't get any takesies backsies. I guess I did a little takesies backsies on Aston Villa a while back, but I don't know. I'm a different man. It's been 5 years since I've really watched much English Premier League. But yeah, I do want to make sure we go through it carefully. We're going to try to get a couple people on here to advocate for their team or to tell us a little bit about why they chose their team as well. Your story is pretty straightforward. I think it's probably pretty relatable for a lot of Americans that chose a Premier League team. I'm going to name off a couple teams here that have my interest. First of all, I got to say, I don't think I can choose one of the top six teams, which are the six teams that we're going to talk about today. That's Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham, and Arsenal. I personally think they're too good. I don't want to get into, a sport by rooting for one of the best teams. I think that's a little bit whack. I don't think it's okay to, I'm not trying to gatekeep here, but if you are going to start watching baseball for the first time, I don't think you should choose the Yankees to root for. If you're going to start watching basketball for the first time, I don't think you should choose the Lakers or the Celtics. If you're going to start watching football, how could you choose the Patriots unless you are from those geographic areas? Do you agree with that as a concept?
I do agree. I just think it's so common, and I think it's honestly a particularly American thing to root for the good team. But I think it's human nature to almost want to root for that, for a more predominant team. And we'll get into some stories about some other supporters that I know from other leagues and stuff like that, where that's kind of the trend. But I do agree where if you're just starting getting into a sport, it is kind of silly and very bandwagon-y to pick the best team in the league.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to take a shot at you for going Liverpool. I think at the time they weren't like super elite. I mean, they've been top six for a while, but yeah. I believe it's like this year is a whole different version of Liverpool where they're dominating and they just won the championship, or they won the Premier League a couple of days ago at this point, right?
Like less than a week ago, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll just drop. The teams that I'm feeling interested by so far, West Ham, Leicester City, Am I saying that right, by the way?
Yeah, Leicester.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in if Leicester, I would say West Ham, Arsenal, no, sorry. West Ham, Everton, Leicester are the ones kind of like popping front to mind right now. And the Wolves. The Wolves are interesting too. Any
just Wolves.
Wolves. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Help me out here. On those four, what's your like instant reaction to me dropping Everton, West Ham, Leicester, and Wolves?
So I want to talk about this for this particularly, almost like stocks. West Ham is what I would say on the decline. Those are all underdog teams that aren't super high profile, so they all fit your kind of bio on that. But West Ham are definitely on the decline. I would not be surprised if they changed ownership, thus maybe flirting with relegation. Everton is just always, they're in what I call soccer purgatory. They're never quite fighting for a Champions League or Europa spot. Never quite fighting for a trophy, but never really scared of relegation. Wolves, first year back in the Premier League in a very long time, very much on the uprise. Last year was their first year in the Premier League in a long time. They made it to Europa. They look like they're going to make it to the Europa again. So solid choice there. And then what? It was Leicester as well?
Yeah, that would be my top four right now.
Leicester won the Premier League in 2016, 15-16 season. They're in third place now. That season definitely put them over where they're probably going to find themselves in like an Everton situation. Last year, I believe last season, their owner tragically passed away. I believe their son took over ownership of King Power and all the, you know, all of its, taking over ownership of Leicester as well. Assets was the word I was looking for. But they're very much on the rise as well. But I don't know if I see them winning the Premier League again, unless some money gets pumped back into them.
Gotcha. That's my starting point. So we'll see how it evolves throughout our breakdowns of the teams. But are you ready to dive into the top six here?
Yeah, can I say one more thing real quick just to give you a little bit of perspective? I almost want you, Rich, I want you to pick a team that's going to at least be I want to say guaranteed in Europe, although I know you're not going to like that because that kind of gets into the top six. But I want you to experience European soccer, man. Like, I want you to have a team that's, if not in Europa, in the Champions League, just because it's so much fun, man. It's another 20 games a season against real legit competition, and it's a fun competition.
Yeah, so I'll keep an open mind as we go into these top six, because I will say there are two of these top six that I am tempted by, and I'll get to them. I'll mention it when we get to them, okay. But I think we should go in order of the most points in the last decade. So I found a little chart with a breakdown of the last 10 Premier League seasons by points. Number one, I bet you can guess who it is. You probably know who number one is in the last 10 years.
It's City, right?
It's City, yeah. Okay. So you know more about these teams than I do. Why don't you start with tell me a little bit about Manchester City FC.
I actually want you to start since you have the Wikipedia stuff.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I've just got the basics here. I really only have the basics, so
I you're going
to have to fill in the details for me. All right, Manchester City. Obviously from Manchester, England. Mm-hmm. This is a really interesting insight that I saw. So I put out a tweet on our Twitter account, basically asking for some feedback, saying, you know, do you have a team in the Premier League? How did you choose that team? Give me a recommendation, that sort of thing. And Matt George from KHDK, who actually I think you worked with briefly.
Yeah, for about a year back before he was doing the damn thing in journalism.
Yeah, yeah. And a guy that I've been on his podcast. He's been on my podcast. Good guy, great guy. Awesome dude. Great podcaster. Check out him on the on Locked On Kings. But yeah, he gave a really nice breakdown of teams in the Premier League. And he said that Manchester is basically the Los Angeles of football, like in terms of soccer, in terms of what LA is in basketball. They have the Lakers and the Clippers, who are arguably the two best teams in the NBA. And Manchester has Man City and Man United. And so anyway, my point is this: Manchester City dominant. We know that number one in points in the last decade. They share that city with Manchester United, another huge powerhouse of English soccer, though I think they've been struggling a little more recently. Mm-hmm. They've been around since 1894, technically 1880, but they changed their name to Manchester City in 1894. Their home colors are that baby blue, that sky blue, that I'll just get right into it. A lot of my decisions are going to be made on badges and uniforms and colors and nicknames. I think that's a big part of what is attractive in American sports. And I'll say their badge is rad. It's got a ship on it. I can't explain what a badge looks like, but they got a rad badge. I like their colors. I like their kits. What else can you tell me about this team?
So Manchester City was never the big Manchester club. It wasn't the derby. The Manchester derby wasn't ever close the way it is now, where any team could take it at this point. They were always Manchester United's little brother, in the sense of they've done time in the second and third division in England until I would say the last decade to 15 years or so, where at one point the dynamic in the Premier League has changed with money, and I'm not going to get all the way into that because I want to stick to just how it is for Manchester City. But at one point, the old prime minister, now he's completely on the run and wanted by multiple countries, bought them and was going to just pump money into them, kind of flip a team, buy a team for cheap, pump money into them, and hopefully go on a winning streak and get some trophies. After he was basically kicked out of Thailand and went on a run, he sold it to Sheikh Mansour, I believe is the name of the Saudi Arabian prince, who now owns Manchester City and has just absolutely pumped money into them to the point where I think they're probably the highest spending team. Paris Saint-Germain might be a little more than them, but they're one of the highest spending teams in the world right now, and they are absolute powerhouses. Considered, I believe they're more inside of the city of Manchester. There's always that argument on Manchester United isn't really a Manchester team because they're just outside of Manchester city limits and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of Manchester City fans will claim that as they're the real club of Manchester. But very much new money and very much on the title hunt every year. They have yet to win a Champions League, but it's almost a matter of when other than if they're going to get a Champions League.
Interesting. So it sounds like they are the Clippers in that analogy. If Man United is the Lakers, it sounds like they were kind of the second team for a long time, but they have made a huge return since being bought by a new owner.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers, and then they recruited Kyrie. Recruited Kawhi Leonard, and then they got Paul George, and it's like, oops, okay, it's going to be when, not if, they win a championship.
Yeah.
But there are still questions if they'll ever kind of make LA into a Clippers city. And for the most part, it still feels like there's a big no. It's a big no there, especially with LeBron going to the Lakers. But to get away from basketball for a minute again, I mean, looking at the chart of their progress, this decade has been huge for them, but it seems like pretty much right at, it was like, that's the cutoff. Like, if you're going back to before 2010, they weren't really, it doesn't look like they were in the top three since like the 70s. I mean, one interesting thing I heard recently about soccer ownership is that in America, teams like, leagues like the NBA, the NFL a little bit as well, but specifically the NBA, you own these teams to make a profit. They're a business and they're meant to be profitable businesses. And in the Premier League and a lot of other leagues in Europe, they're kind of vanity projects where it's not really about the bottom line. It's not really about if the team is profitable. It's about, hey, like, I am so wealthy that I own this team and this team is doing well. And it helps the owner's other business ventures to have that team in their portfolio. So that's kind of what it seems is going on with Man City and a lot of this, because they're spending way too much money to be profitable.
Totally. So a couple of things of note, and I've kind of mentioned this to you before, real quick, I do want to say Manchester City also employ probably one of the best coaches to have ever coached the game, in Pep Guardiola. They have huge names. That's a team where if you like a team that's going to have superstars all the time, Manchester City's your team. It's not going to be your only team, but it's going to be a choice that you're going to want to consider. And going into the ownership thing, I don't know how far we want to get into geopolitics, but they are owned by Saudi Arabian royalty. There's some questionable human rights issues going on with that country in particular. And rules have been broken by Manchester City regarding financial fair play, little bit of money laundering going on. So they're not going to be in the Champions League as of now, pending an appeals trial. They have been found guilty of violations of financial fair play. So they are not going to be in the Champions League for the next 2 years, again, pending a appeals trial.
Gotcha. I will have to look into that a little more. I'm interested to know what the violations exactly were.
I can get into it if you want.
No, I mean, we don't need to like do it necessarily right now, but just for my own curiosity, I'm curious exactly how that works. But for the sake of this episode, want to get through six teams.
Yeah.
I'll say, yeah, you can inform me of any other standouts, but just some names on this team that I recognize. Sergio Aguero, obviously. Mm-hmm. Raheem Sterling, Kevin De Bruyne. De Bruyne?
Yep, De Bruyne.
De Bruyne. Fernandinho, David Silva. I didn't realize Silva must be an older guy, right? Like, he must be – he's the captain. Interesting.
Yeah, I would say he's on the back nine of his career, for sure.
Okay, I just feel like I've seen him in, like, multiple World Cups and stuff like that. And it's obviously Spain, like, is always making noise in the World Cup. But a lot of these
– I think he's a part of that World Cup winning team, I think. He would have been a youngster for sure, though.
Okay. Interesting. I need to give him a little more research there. But yeah, I mean, tons of names here that I know from World Cups. And again, like in terms of international soccer, I'm mostly just a World Cup fan, and
yeah,
that's kind of a fair weather thing. And like, I don't follow international soccer, but trying to get into it. So here's what I'll say. Let's go through some pros and cons of choosing this team.
Can I add one more thing? Things keep coming to my brain. Yeah, so yeah. Manchester City are a part of a group of teams called the City Football Group. They own New York City FC as well as Sydney City soccer club, I believe.
Sydney City. All right.
Yeah. So they are in a elite group of elite ownership that actually owns multiple teams and is doing kind of a farm system with their ownership scouting system, where it's like, hey, it might not be good enough. Let's put him over in New York City FC. Maybe he's really not good, but it's easier to transfer a player from Manchester City to NYCFC because they're the same owners.
I'm so fascinated by like the ins and outs of soccer because it is such a more complex system than the NBA. Like you mentioned with Man City, like how they're able to their sponsor is also owned by the ownership group of the team. So like the sponsor can pay way too much money to get a sponsorship, and that injects all this extra cash into the team in suspicious, like money laundering esque ways, even if it's not technically that. And like this, yeah, like this concept
that's
of
the violation. That right there was the violation.
That's so funny. And this concept of like the ownership group can own other teams, and so that seems like they're making it easier to make those transfers, which, you know, maybe that's totally legal and all that, but like the NBA doesn't have anything like this. Like the NBA is so strictly ran. There's a salary cap. Like you can like study the CBA of the NBA and like fully understand all the rules, and like it's not that complicated. Like soccer is complicated, man. And it goes, there's levels.
Well, I think it's because you're dealing with multiple leagues governing themselves, and then there's a pyramid of governance that goes worldwide. But then as you get into the smaller and smaller geographical areas, then they start governing themselves smaller as well. So I would attribute it to, I'm going to say Mark Cuban, just because he's the only NBA owner I know. If he were to buy like a Barcelona basketball team and wanted to use that as a farm team for European players and then bring them to the Mavs when they got good enough.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. Yeah, there's a lot to process here. I'm definitely not going to be ready to make my decision today, but
let's get another team or no?
Pros and cons of following Manchester City. So pros and cons of me supporting it. And I'll give mine real quick, and you can give yours as well. I'll aim mine kind of for myself, at myself, right? And you can maybe talk to the listener in general who is looking for a team.
Okay.
For me, it's a con that they're so good. Like, I know that's stupid, but it'll be a pro for many, many people listening. For me, I do not feel comfortable choosing a team that won two of the last three Premier Leagues. Like I can't have a team that won the last league or won the league two of the last 3 years. That's too much. It's just too much. Like I feel like I would be bandwagoning. You know, it's a little too much. But other cons here, I don't really see any. Like if this were a mid-table team, I love their kits. Maybe the best kits in the Premier League, quite honestly. I love their badge. I like the concept of rooting for Manchester, like a city from Manchester. I'm torn on whether I want to choose a London team or a Manchester team or a Liverpool team. I've never been to England. I've been around Europe quite a bit. My father actually lived in Germany, so maybe I end up choosing a German team. But
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah, and there are some really interesting ones. We'll get into the German league as well, as you mentioned up top. But I like a lot about Manchester. Everything I've heard about their play style, their attacking, their high-scoring team, everything's attractive except they're winning too much. So I don't think that I can get behind them.
Yeah, I feel that. I definitely did not have them picked at all for someone that you'd like. As far as for the listeners go, like you mentioned, like for a lot of people, it's going to be a huge pro that they are so dominant. And that it doesn't seem like it's, you know, the ownership is going to come to an end at all. Like it's very much going to keep being this way for at least another decade. As the whole group of city soccer teams, start becoming more and more prominent in their individual leagues. So that's a pro. I would say the biggest con, to be honest, is they're owned by a dictator. They're owned by a very, very well-known human rights violating dictatorship family member.
This is a really good point.
And so, like, it really makes me laugh when I see these, like, these bandwagon soccer fans, like I am. Like, I'm not, I very much am a bandwagon fan of soccer. I started watching soccer because of the video game FIFA. But it really makes me laugh when I see these people that, like, are very into social justice and doing the right thing morally, and then they're city supporters. Because that's the Saudi Arabian prince, man. Like, that's not, they are not great.
Yeah. So I'm going to put a big red line through them on my list. And we'll get into our next team here in just a second.
Awesome.
All right, we are back from a quick break, and we're going to be talking about the other Manchester Football Club, talking about Man U, or Manchester United FC. The Red Devils, they share Manchester with Man City. As you mentioned, I guess a little less central, their location in the city where they play. But, yeah, Red Devils, I think these are probably the most iconic kits. Maybe iconic is the wrong word. Most recognizable kits in England. I think Wayne Rooney is probably, like, at least for my generation, he's the English player that you saw the most. The red top, the white shorts, black socks.
Yeah.
Very recognizable. They've been around forever. Founded 1878, changed to Man United FC in 1902. Yeah, I think their away colors, at least I believe for the current season, are kind of like a tan or beige with black shorts. And they also have an all black version.
More commonly, they actually surprisingly use a blue for an away, which I'm not a huge fan of, but the last 10 years you commonly would see them in a blue away kit.
Huh. Yeah, I don't like that for them.
Me neither.
So tell me more about these guys.
So I heard this, I feel like I heard this in passing on, like, on a documentary. I believe Manchester United play, though I know they play in Old Trafford, which is actually in Trafford County, which is outside of Manchester County. And please tweet at us if I have that wrong. But I believe that's something I heard, like, in passing in a documentary about the Derby, when they were kind of, City fans were kind of poking the bear at United, saying that they're not really a Manchester club. That's kind of where that argument comes from. They are, I would say, probably the most popular English club. They are really historic, brought to prominence by Sir Alex Ferguson, which is their coach all the way 90s, all the way through the teens of the 2000s. Won them. You'll have to look it up, Alex Ferguson's record, but he's won them an insane amount of trophies, all the way from the Champions League, the Premier League, the FA Cup, the other League Cup in England, all kinds of trophies. This team is they're a good team. I'm going to say it even as a Liverpool supporter. They're a great team, a lot of history. What else to say about them? I can't really think of much right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. So I've got some more on them. So, okay. First of all, like, I'll just say I don't have a lot to say about them either, because, I could never support this team. I don't know what it is. They feel like the Lakers of the Premier League. They just feel like the golden boys. They feel like, I don't know. I don't know what it is exactly, but they feel like they were too good for too long, to the point where, at least like when I started first noticing and watching soccer when I was young, they felt like they were already pretty dominant. Haven't they struggled though recently? Like, am I making that up?
Yeah. So, they changed ownership there. This is a topic I wish I was a little more educated on. And listeners, again, tweeted us if you have more resources and info for us, but they had a somewhat hostile takeover of ownership, by the Glazer family. Manchester United, I think, was always owned by a few generations of the same family. And something happened where it's regarded as a hostile takeover when it's referred to in books that I've read and stuff. I just have never heard the details exactly. They're commonly supported, at least here in the States, by your old soccer fans. And I've kind of asked a lot of older soccer fans, why United? And I think the most common answer I've heard is, other than them being good, is that that's the club that was on. That's the games that were on. If you wanted to watch soccer, it was usually Premier League, and it was usually United and whoever they were playing.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I would almost rather that be the reason than, well, they were really good the last 20 years. If you're just, you're trying to watch soccer, and every time you turn on soccer, United is the only team they're showing, then by all means, I totally understand that. That's a very legitimate excuse to me, or reason.
Yeah, unfortunately, that, like, those go hand in hand, right? Like,
yeah,
they're on because they're good. They're good, you know. It's not that they were just on for some random reason. That's why they were available. And all that, I mean, that's smart as well. Smart, you know, management of the team, smart branding, all that stuff. But they have a lot of recognizable names. Obviously, Sergio Romero, David De Gea, I believe both are their goalkeepers. Is that right?
Yeah, De Gea is definitely the more prominent one. Paul Pogba.
Okay, yeah, Pogba for sure. Marcus Rashford, I know. Alexis Sanchez, Juan Mata. Let's see here. Sorry, just going through the list here.
So Sanchez isn't going to be there anymore. He's still listed on there, but he's actually loaned out and probably will not be back. The only other name really that I think is like really worth mentioning, you said Rashford. He's a homegrown, really good homegrown. And then Anthony Martial
is
awesome. He's on fire this season for sure. Very good. Their last coach before – oh, gosh, why can't I think of their current coach's name? But they had Jose Mourinho in as coach, and he won them a Europa, which was their last trophy. And his tenure there was widely regarded as unsuccessful. He did okay. It's just kind of that doing okay at a club of Manchester United's stature is not always okay. So right. He ended up getting sacked, and now they have can you find his name for me, Rich? I feel so silly.
Gunner?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Solskjaer.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry.
Which
guys.
Is an ex he's a ex star for them. I can never hate when an ex star comes back to a team as a coach. Successful or unsuccessful, it's always a cool story.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I can't get enough motivation to talk about this team. If this is your team, great. I think also one notable thing is they were sponsored by Chevy for a long time.
Yes.
They might still be. I don't know who their current sponsor is, but I never liked that. I'm a Japanese car guy, so apologies to the American-made crew. But Chevy, like, man, I don't know. It was a very iconic thing. They felt like the most American-supported club, too. It's a little bit too, I don't know. It's a little bit too easy of a choice. Also, I'll say I asked my wife, because this is going to be a family decision, right? Like, once I make this decision, my wife and My father-in-law has agreed to join in too, and my brother-in-law. And I mean, it's gonna like our family is gonna be a blank family. Whatever team I end up deciding here, they're all on board. And yeah, so I ran some of these teams past her, and when she saw the Manchester United badge, she said, "No, not them. We don't support the devil in this family. We support God." So the Red Devils, that's a big no for them.
Okay, let's do some pros and cons. I'll let you start.
Yeah. So cons, I mean, I the badge is just boring to me. Like, it's fine. I'm not afraid of the devil or whatever, but I think it's a little boring. It's a little ketchup and mustard, you know, this red and yellow. I think they're just way too popular. They were way too popular. They're still too good. They're the Lakers of the English football world, and I just could not ever get behind them. At pros, I've got none for you, really.
Yeah, I would say the badge is you know, the badge is, I like it. I don't hate it. I agree with the ketchup and mustard thing. I never thought about that, but that's very true. The kits are very generic. I can't get on board with those very much. And that's coming from a Liverpool fan, which I don't think Liverpool kits are always awesome either. Pros, I mean, they're always going to be up there. They're not necessarily on the decline the way some of the other teams, another team in this list is, but they're going to be up there fighting for trophies a lot. They have that very high expectation still. So if this is your jam, if you've been to Manchester, then I would definitely rather you support Manchester United just based off of ownership. I really can't get past that, the ownership group, man. But yeah,
that's a really good point and one that is underrated. But again, like, look at Manchester as Los Angeles. I know you feel me, Sacramento. We don't need to be associated with any part of Manchester. I think that's we're good.
I think we've said enough. You want to get to the next one?
Yeah, let's do it. Also, just going to drop there that, you know, we mentioned Liverpool won the Premier League. Man U is currently in fifth. So I'm just going to throw that out there for the rest of these teams as we go along.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been going in order of the wins across the last decade. Not wins, sorry, points across the last decade. So Man U was tied for second. So we got them in there. But they are tied with a different team. Do you want to guess what that team is?
It's got to be Chelsea.
It is Chelsea.
Yeah. Hit me with the Wikipedia stuff, because I got stuff to say about Chelsea for sure.
Yeah, basics of Chelsea Football Club. Their nickname is the Blues. They were founded in 1905. They play at Stamford Bridge. 40,000 capacity. I'm getting off into the weeds here, but their kit is blue. Generally blue, full blue shirt and pants, white socks. And that's reversed when they're away. So the white shirt, white pants, blue socks. They do play an alternative with like black and red as well. I don't like when these red teams play in blue or when these blue teams play in red. Not into that at all. Their badge is interesting. I'm not sure what is going on there. If it's some other weird devil, or it looks like a dragon, maybe someone called it a lion, but I don't know what it looks more like, a dragon to me.
I think it's a lion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a weird badge, but you know, their kits are all right. I'd say they're pretty basic. I'd say like their whole aesthetic is pretty standard. They're a blue team, and that's pretty much all I've got for you there.
So Chelsea is in kind of the same boat as Manchester City is, as far as not a lot of history. Actually, they get jeered at a lot by fans of rival teams about their lack of history. But new ownership came in the turn of the century, closer to the 2010s area, and propelled them to absolute greatness. They have a Champions League. A handful of Premier Leagues, handful of other trophies within the England soccer pyramid. And they're owned by a Russian oligarch. So not as horrendous, but that's what we got. Fan base with this one, so it's from a neighborhood in London, particularly up class, kind of known to be a more rich part of London and a more rich fan base within England. It's kind of the stereotype there. Obviously, yeah. Not so much when you get here to the States.
I'll just interject that was my wife's like instant takeaway on Chelsea. They're like, no, they're too bougie. Like they're too upper class. They're too fancy. We don't want to be so vain to be Chelsea fans.
So again, this will be a point where the listener might want to correct me, but I believe I read in the book Inverting the Pyramid that Chelsea was legit started by bourgeoisie.
It adds up. I mean, like that, just the name Chelsea definitely conjures like a very high class sense there. I will say though, there is one huge advantage that Chelsea has over any other team in the top six, maybe any other team internationally for the American fan. I know you know where I'm going with this. In the tweet that I put out there, of any top six team, by far the most support was for Chelsea because they have Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, that's something I was going to say, and that's going to definitely go in my pros column. I'm not convinced he's going to stay there forever. Christian Pulisic is actually a Red Devils fan.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and but I'm not convinced he's going to stay there forever. He's had a good season. But I would say if you're the type of fan where you almost want to follow a player other than a club, but you're going to support that club while that player is there, then I'm not going to hold it against you to support Chelsea. They're a good club. They're entertaining, and they do have Christian Pulisic. So, yeah, I mean, I'm always hoping he scores when they play, as long as they're not playing Liverpool. So totally understandable on that note.
Also, I'll say there is a Sacramento chapter of Chelsea supporters, the Capital City Blues. They actually responded and tweeted at me, "We welcome you to the pub on match day. We can show you what we're all about, wear your blue." They got about 1,000 people in their group, at least just on Twitter, probably more IRL. They're the official Chelsea supporters group in Sacramento. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool that there's – if you wanted to choose a team, this is a big pro if you are a Sacramento soccer fan looking for a Premier League team. There's a group here for you that you can go and watch games with, that you can – like I said, I fell out with Aston Villa because I just didn't know a single other Aston Villa fan like ever.
And so I want to mention that too. That's something I've been meaning to mention. The only other club that I know for sure that we have mentioned has a supporter group here in Sacramento as well. I know Manchester United do, I believe, the Zebra Lounge downtown. That's where
recently shut down for coronavirus-related diagnoses. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know about any other teams that we've mentioned. I guess the only other one is City. I would imagine the top six clubs have supporter groups here.
That's fair. But I'm going to give a little extra love to the Capital City Blues for reaching out to me on Twitter. Any other pros or cons of Chelsea before we move on to the next team?
Other than just new, to me, a con is new money. If you don't have history and a dude came within the last 20 years and bought your club and took you up to stardom, that's a con. Not necessarily the most aesthetically pleasing club, which we mentioned. And that's about it. Pros, Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much where it ends. I actually don't know a lot of other guys on this team. I know Ross Barkley, but he doesn't seem that great. Conte. I'm tempted because of the American connection here, but that's pretty much the only big pro that I see. So let's move it along. You know who's number four here. It's your team. It's yes. Liverpool. I want to hand this one to you. I'll run down like the very, very basic Wikipedia facts on them. Founded 1892, nicknamed the Reds. You'll never walk alone. Jurgen Klopp is the manager. We talked about him a little bit before. Current champions, home colors red, away colors white. I mean, I think this changed a little bit, but white tops, blue shorts, and then they've got a lot of alternate kits as well.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't say enough about Liverpool. I love this club so much. They when they won the Premier League last week, a lot of the commentators were talking about how long it had been since they won the Premier League in particular, or at least the English top flight, and that they're not a commercial club. And I think all the teams that we've mentioned are very much that. They are ways of making money. They are ways of being glamorous and spend, win. And of course Liverpool want to win, but they feel so authentic to me. Their song, you mentioned You'll Never Walk Alone, and it's about the song at its heart is about, you know, getting through a storm and things being better at the end of hardship. And Liverpool seem to have always had some type of hardship. There's a disaster where if you do choose to be part of the Liverpool family, I encourage you to learn your history about the Hillsborough disaster, which is just one of the most tragic things that's happened to the club. 96 Liverpool supporters died in a crush during the FA Cup semifinal in Hillsborough Stadium. I'm not going to get into all the details, but it was a really big scar on us as a fan base, because Liverpool had such a reputation of being violent back in the 80s and late 70s that when this happened, the media and the authorities were very easily placed the blame on the supportership of Liverpool, which it was actually a poor crowd management by the authorities which caused this disaster. Now that has all come to light, and it seems like we are at the end of this metaphorical storm. One thing that's awesome is every home game at Anfield, you will hear them sing the song You'll Never Walk Alone. It's an amazing song. Even if you're not a Liverpool supporter, I encourage you to look it up. It's a good song. Anfield is known around Europe as being one of the hardest places to play currently. And I love that about Anfield. Ask me some questions.
So I'll mention that song, I believe, is in a Pink Floyd song. I remember that from like being a teenager listening to Pink Floyd. I think they start, I forget which song it is.
It's a song in a song?
Yeah, I'll Google that in a second here. But yeah, I'm pretty sure. So like, it's like a song that starts with like a recording of the fans chanting and singing that.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool. I also watched a documentary on the Hillsborough disaster that is deeply, deeply tragic. And that's another thing, like that's another reason I don't feel comfortable like just jumping in right away. And maybe I feel wrong about like this whole concept. I don't know. Like, I don't know that I'll ever be a real supporter of a team. Like, these teams have like been around for over 100 years. People have died like pretty much in every team, like their supporter, like there is, this is like way more real than being an NBA fan or an NFL fan or an MLB fan. Like, your life's on the line occasionally. It's crazy. Like, it's messed up, but like, it also, your connection is so much deeper, I think, with soccer teams that have been ingrained with your city for so long. I started watching the Sunderland Till I Die documentary last night on Netflix about how, you know, the Sunderland Football Club is so entrenched with the city of Sunderland that, you know, I mean, the identity is completely blurred. It starts with, it starts with a scene in a church where the the pastor or the preacher is, you know, basically asking God to help Sunderland Football Club.
That's intense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that goes into the commercialness that I was speaking of is, like, I think Liverpool of the top six is the least commercial, the most genuine, just at heart, like, the supporters love this team more than anything else. And I can say the same thing for myself, even though I haven't been supporting for very long at all, when we're talking prospectively. But yeah, Liverpool, there's a lot of pros and cons. What are some pros and cons that you see?
I mean, for me, it's a con, but like they're the best team in the league right now. And like maybe the best team in Europe, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the best players on this team?
The front line is just, you have to mention Robert Firmino, Mo Salah, and Sadio Mane. Just absolute superstars. We also have Virgil van Dijk and Alisson Becker. And Virgil van Dijk's our star defender. Alisson Becker is our goalkeeper, which I would say has been the longest battle trying to find a goalkeeper. And we finally found him, and he is absolutely amazing. At this point, I mean, we won a Champions League. Our entire starting lineup is our superstars. So one thing I want to mention is Jurgen Klopp. He's definitely brought us to our new rise of glory. He's awesome. He fits the Liverpool brand so well. He fits the Liverpool fan base, loves him. They're very much on the rise. They have not always, especially the last two decades, they have not always been this powerhouse club. Yes, they've won trophies, but they were always struggling. Steven Gerrard is a absolute Liverpool legend, and he never won an English top flight. So they're not, I would say they're the favorites underdog.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't see a lot of cons here. My cousin's husband is a huge Liverpool supporter. I just saw their baby in a Liverpool onesie recently. But more generally speaking, I don't see much of a downside here. If you are going to choose a top six team, I fully, fully get Liverpool. If I had to choose a top six team, if I didn't care about choosing a really good team, if that didn't matter to me at all, I think Liverpool is the most attractive of these six. Just to throw in my wife's two cents again, this would be her choice of the top six.
That's right, Kate. That's right.
So I don't see much downside here. I fully, fully get it. If you're okay with jumping in, like, on the bandwagon, like, this is the go for it. Like, this is a totally legit. I super support this team if that doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, and I will just say, I mean, they're out of the Champions Leagues already. They're one of the only two teams that got knocked out of the Champions League before the coronavirus hit. So we won't be champions of Europe, but I would say going into the season, the Premier League was what we wanted to win more than anything else, because we already pretty much won everything else with Klopp. Mission accomplished. Klopp's going to be around until at least 2024. If you want to jump in, please do. Liverpool also have a great supporters group, LFC of Sacramento. They meet at Devers in downtown. Currently only taking reservations, but if you want to celebrate with us, I don't know if this pod will be out in time, but on Thursday, the 2nd of July, it'll be our first game as champions of England against our hardest rivals, Manchester City. So if you want to come out, make a reservation and come out and help support.
All right, we're back to do the last two teams of the top six. You know who the two are. I will say this, in the last 10 seasons, they're only separated by 1 point. Can you guess which team has the 1 point advantage
It's over 1 point. It's such a coin flip.
This is not a reflection of your knowledge of the sport. This is totally random at this point.
I'm just gonna say Spurs.
Yeah, you got it, man. The Tottenham Hotspurs. All right, so let's get into them real quick. Get the basics out there. Tottenham Hotspur FC. The Lily Whites are the nickname. Short name is the Spurs. Founded 1882. That might be the oldest one of this top six. They were founded as Hotspur FC. Not a lot of changes. They play at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Capacity 62,000. That's a big deal. Head coach is Jose Mourinho, who I believe left Chelsea, was it? Not too long ago. Was it Chelsea that he was fired from?
Well, he helped bring Chelsea some titles when Abramovich, their owner, first took over. And then he went to Man U, and then he went to Spurs.
Gotcha. So, and they are located in London. Am I right about that?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I've slacked on this a little bit, but of the teams so far, we did the two Manchester teams, and we did Liverpool as well, which is obviously in Liverpool. But the other three are in London. Maybe I'll look up a map and figure out which side of London. I don't know if that matters much to American fans. But London team, I think very clean colors, very clean kits. A very dark navy is their primary color. Home, they got the white shirts, white socks. The dark navy shorts, and their away is a solid navy throughout. Tell me a little bit about the Tottenham Hotspur.
So this team is definitely on the up. They've always been in the top six, but they seem it's I think I mentioned it. They just seem like one of those clubs that like you gotta win it. You deserve it. Like, I think they're the only team in this group that hasn't won one. Can you check if they've ever won one? A Premier League? Or not a Premier League, but a top flight English trophy?
I will check, yeah. I know they've won the Premier League before, but I think it was quite a long time ago.
They're a London team. They're part of North London. Their arch rivals, the North London Derby, is against Arsenal, who we will mention. And then just going back on what Rich said about the what side Chelsea's on the east side of London, I believe. Spurs are part of North London. They were the original North London team, if you're into that kind of thing. They have a pretty predominant Jewish supportership. Tottenham is a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, so they have a predominantly Jewish supportership. They're really fun team. Like I said, they're up on the they're on the come up. I was bummed when I found out that Jose Mourinho had been appointed. The coach before that, Rich, can you hit me with his name as well? Because it's spacing me.
Their last coach.
Their last coach's name. He brought them to kind of the modern glory they're at. They weren't super dominant. They were kind of hovering around mid-table. And this guy came and just turned them into a top six team, gave them a couple real good title races, and barely missed out on the Champions League last year, losing to Liverpool. This is a fun team. I don't have any beef with people that support this club.
Is this Mauricio Pochettino?
Pochettino, yes. Yeah.
So they okay. So I found a little bit on their history here. Not a lot of success in terms of like the highest level, right? So they won the Premier League in. I don't even think it was called the Premier League originally at this point, but they won it. They won the first division of English soccer in 51 and 61.
Okay.
I mean, they've won the second division before, back in 1920 and 1950. They've won the FA Cup 8 times, most recently 91. Not great. They won the League Cup in 07, 08. They won the Charity Shield. I'm not going to get into this, Community Shield. They won the UEFA Championship. Oh, no, sorry. They were runners-up in the Champions League in 18-19. That's about it, man.
Yeah, so they they're an up-and-coming team in that matter as far as, like, I would say at this point it has become a win, not an if, of winning something. I believe ownership is in question for this team, but you might have to fact check me on that one. They did just move stadiums, which wasn't a particularly loved choice, but they're doing fine. Mourinho is doing fine with them, but we'll see how things go in the long run. But yeah, I have no quandaries with this team. Did I use that correctly? Quandaries?
No qualms with them.
Qualms? Yeah, I have no issue with them. They're a fun team. Obviously, I don't. You know, I never hope they do better than Liverpool, but I always hope for a team. I always can root for a team that is up there and really trying, really seems like they deserve it.
Yeah, it looks like they finished top three like 20 times since, or at least top five like 20 times since they won the top division in 1951. So it's like, this is very much an always the bridesmaid, never the bride type of team.
Yeah, and they're an old money team. Like, don't get me wrong, they are a powerhouse. They're not on the up and coming like Wolves or Leicester is. They are a powerhouse. They were part of that powerhouse five that made the Premier League the Premier League. But they just, like, it's been, what'd you say, 6 decades since they've won a top flight trophy?
So they've seven. Always been. Yeah, seven now.
Yeah, so like you said, always the bridesmaids, never the bride. So if that's kind of your jam, Rich, like I said, like, out of the top six teams, I know you're more of an underdog guy. I think this is your team if you had to pick a top six.
I think so too. I think so too. I think there's no question, actually. I was very intrigued by Chelsea because of the Pulisic connection. But that's really all they have going for them as far as I'm concerned. Because if he's not on that team, and like you said, he might leave that team, then I just will not be – I'm going to be out. And I don't want to do that. I want to find a team – I want to identify with the team more than the player, than one player. So, yeah, for me, definitely prefer Tottenham over any of these other top six. But I don't know if I can really do it because, like, if they did win, could I celebrate it? Like, if they won in the next season, I don't know that I could celebrate it or feel – any joy or ownership over experiencing that because they've been so damn close for so long. It doesn't feel like they should be good. Like there's no joy in watching them be good. They should be good and they just will be good.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but if it's any comfort at all, they're not going to win next year.
Really? Really? No.
I think Pep and Klopp have to leave before something like that happens.
Okay. So, all right. So, like, are they bad enough that – because I know I'm crazy, but, like, I want to find a team that I'm confident will not be relegated, but I'm also confident will not win anything important anytime soon. That's my sweet spot.
Because I feel you on that, on, like it's how I kind of was, like, with Liverpool, where it's, like, I had one or two years where it was like kind of like I didn't suffer, but it was like, oh man, like we're really not in a race for anything. And then it was like the last 3 years, it's like, oh, this is nice. This is what it feels like. Okay. So I get you on that. You don't want the next year of them to be lifting stuff. So I get that. I think there's so many competitions that these teams play in. They could win something next year, but as far as the Premier League goes, they're not going to win it next year. I mean, I would be flabbergasted if they did. But I think we can find you a good choice in that range outside of this top six.
I'll tell you what, I there's a lot to like. I think that they have a – so, you know, I told you that my wife, I showed her the the badge, the kind of the aesthetic of each team. Showed them, you know, it told them their nicknames, told them where they're located, showed them the badge, showed them the kits. When she saw Tottenham, she said, "This bird looks like a bitch." So I don't know. Like, I think the kits are super clean. They remind me, honestly, in a lot of ways, of the San Antonio Spurs from the NBA. Like, oh. I guess that's just a spur thing, but like the San Antonio Spurs, they're just black and white. Like, their colors are just black and white and gray. It's like it's not fancy. Tottenham is like just navy and white, but like it works. It's classic. They don't need to be flashy. Like, it's a clean, sophisticated look.
Yeah, and London is a nice place, because London around the world is it's soccer mecca to me. There's eight pro clubs from there. Five of them are in the Premier League right now. Four of them are in the Premier League right now, and two of them are in the second division. So there's options there. When you said about the colors, you're totally right. Like, it's just all it's clean. It's not fancy, but it's perfect.
Yeah, and that's another big pro, I would say. I'm thinking for myself. So I said I've never been to England. I would like to go to England. My wife really wants to go to England. She said if there's anywhere she could visit in the world, and now is not the time to do this, obviously, but, you know, in terms of travel, but we're like almost certainly going to go take a trip to England, and she wants to go to London. Like, that's it. I think we're definitely going to go to London. I don't think we're going to be like taking a drive to Birmingham or taking a drive to Leicester City or whatever. Like, I think, like, I'm pretty sure we're going to be in London. Maybe we visit Liverpool. I'm probably not going to want to go to the north and go to Manchester. So, like, it would be nice. I think
they're right next to each other, Rich.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wait, what is Manchester?
Manchester and Liverpool are right next to each other.
Okay. Yeah. I'm probably not going to go to either one of those. So, yeah. I think we're going to go to London, and I think we'll probably stay in London. I don't know. I don't think going to, like, there's a reputation in the north of it being kind of gloomy and like not a lot of beautiful vistas to visit or whatever. London seems like a dope ass city. And it'd be kind of nice to have a team in London where if I go to London, I can buy some gear, I can visit the stadium, I can see a game, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and it's kind of a weird thing, but with London being kind of, like I said, soccer mecca, if you were wanting to go to a Spurs game, the likelihood of you seeing Spurs play another London team, which creates that derby atmosphere, whether it be West Ham, whether it be Crystal Palace or Arsenal or Chelsea, it's going to be a good game. It's a London derby. It's good. And then, I mean, just geographically, a little bit outside of soccer, London is just so much closer to mainland Europe that you can pop over on a train, you know, a little faster that way.
Yeah, I feel it. And I've gotten some positive feedback from them off the tweet as well. Just got a DM from Jason just saying he's been a Spurs fan for years. They are a working class team, not the richest, but generally near the top of the table. Watching Lucas put the game winner in the back of the net in the dying seconds against Ajax was one of the most exciting and amazing sports moments he's ever witnessed. So,
can I tell that story real quick?
Please.
They go to I don't know the name of their new stadium, but what would have been White Hart Lane. They're in London playing Ajax, and they go 2 goals down. And that's the final there. They go back to Johan Cruyff Stadium in the Netherlands, Ajax Stadium, and they need 3 goals. And I don't know the minutes, but 2 go in, and I'm waiting for class, and I look at my phone, and I see it's 2-0, and it's like last 5 minutes of the game. And I can't pull up a stream on my phone, but I have this app where I'm able to listen to it's the Champions League app, actually, listeners. If you download the Champions League app, they have radio broadcasts in English that you can listen to. So I listened to that, And I listened to Lucas Moura score this goal. And it's just, it's storybook. It's, that's what you want. You want someone to get a hat trick, score the winning goal in the closing moments at the opponent's stadium. That stadium's named Johan Cruyff Stadium. Lucas Moura did a Cruyff turn to make space and score that goal.
I love it.
It couldn't be more like a movie.
I'm way more into the Spurs right now than I was starting this podcast. In terms of stocks, their stock is rising for me. I'll just say that.
Good. Okay. I would like that. I would like, and they have that kind of, they're going to be in Europe. They might mess up 1 year and only be in the Europa, but that might give them a little more of a chance to win something like the Europa. So yeah, I'm happy with that. Do you want to get into the next team, or do you want to talk about them a little longer?
No, that's good. This one's a dud though. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but I have no interest in Arsenal. I straight up don't. I'm not interested in Arsenal. Kate saw the badge and said we don't like guns in our house, so they're out. I think their kits look like really stupid. I think they look really stupid. The white sleeves on the red shirt. I think it looks bad. I would never wear this gear. Arsenal Football Club, the Gunners is their nickname. 1886, Emirates Stadium. That's throwing up some flags, right? I don't know if that's associated with some of the same. I guess that's not. I don't know. Tell me about like their ownership group. Tell me about their ground. What's that? Where's that name? Are they just sponsored by the airline? What's happening there?
So yeah, as far as my knowledge goes, I believe the Emirates is just a. I think it's just a sponsorship. There may be some type of ownership by Emirates, but I know Arsenal's a publicly traded club. So you can buy Arsenal stock, which some of our listeners might be into that idea. Like, oh, I want to support a club that I can like own part of. I think that is pretty cool that you can do something like that. You can also do that, listeners, with Manchester United are also publicly traded. But yeah, as far as the name of that stadium, I think that's just a sponsorship thing. I would need to be fact checked on that. They used to play in a stadium called Highbury, and that used to just have a crazy atmosphere. It was a really controversial thing when that place was torn down and when they moved stadiums. That's when they became a North London club. I believe that's when they became a North London club. But they've always been a London club. They, in the early 2000s, it was like England was red as far as soccer is concerned. It was Manchester, it was Arsenal, it was Liverpool. Those were your top three. They were fighting every year. And Arsenal, out of all six of these clubs, is the most in crisis. If you want to see a team that that is at its lowest that it's been in the last 20 years, you might want to support Arsenal. I'm not 100% sure that they're done declining, but they're definitely on the decline. So they're not going to be doing much anytime soon. Even their transfers they just look less and less hopeful every year with their transfers. A lot of issues with this team, a lot of issues.
Yeah. I said early on that I would keep up with this, but I totally forgot to do it. I'll do it now. In terms of standings in the current season, Arsenal's all the way down at 10th. Yeah. That's significantly lower than the rest of the teams we discussed today. Tottenham is 7th. Chelsea's 4th. Man City is second. Liverpool is first. Did I miss someone there? 1, 2.
Spurs, 7th.
Tottenham, 7th. Man United, 5th. Okay.
Yeah.
So just to run down in order, Liverpool, 1. Man City, 2. Chelsea 4, Man U 5, Tottenham 7, Arsenal all the way down at 10th. So you think this could continue?
Yeah, I don't know if I said this while we were recording, but I kind of want to see what it's like when one of these teams fail big. Like, I obviously not Liverpool, but I would love to see what happens to City or Chelsea if their big money leaves, if their big money pulls out and they can't find a big money buyer and they get down way down at the bottom of the table. Arsenal look the most likely for this to happen to. And I don't think any of these teams are ever really going to get relegated, but I'd like to see what happens when relegation starts knocking at the door for one of these clubs. And like I said, Arsenal look the most likely for it to happen. There's a lot of cry for a change in like the board, and they've gotten rid of, they had Arsene Wenger for a very long time. He pretty much brought them to the glory that they were at. They're I believe the only club that has ever gone through an entire top flight season without taking a loss. They had a few, I believe 12 draws, but they went a whole season without losing, which is unheard of. I think they're the only club to have done that. They have history. Back in the day, they were great. But yeah, overall, nothing about this club sticks out to me for me personally. But listener, if you like a club with history, this could be your club. If you want to see a club go through a rebuilding process that may not have started yet, this is probably a club for you. What do you think, Rich?
That's interesting. I could
change your mind on that one as far as how you are into them.
Yeah, as soon as I hear like the word rebuild, I start to perk up. I love that process. I'm someone who I'm always drawn to the worst teams in any situation, and it's crazy. But you know, and the way that soccer works, that's gonna have to change for me a little bit. I can't like the very worst teams because they will quickly become like unwatchable. Like, and I don't mean like because they're bad, but I mean because they're just not televised.
Yeah,
not accessible to me. But it would certainly be interesting for Arsenal to be relegated because they have been in the first tier of English soccer since World War I. They have never gone down.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's wild. That is literally wild. It's literally,
is that the longest of any team?
Probably. I think I've just been looking at the graphs of these, but I would say almost certainly yes. I mean, it's been literally a century since they were playing in Tier 2 soccer.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they were very successful for a long time. I don't even know how many championships. I'm trying to find out. I mean, there's a lot. You can see – I'm looking at a graph of their finish each year, and it is a lot. They had a lot of they've had a ton of success, all really before 2005. Like, they've been solid. They've been strong ever since, but, like, I don't think they've won a lot since then.
Yeah, and, so that's kind of when Arsene – I read a book called The Club, a very good book about the business end of soccer and the Premier League's rise. And it kind of talks about how when Arsene Wenger was around – the standard was, you know, winning the Premier League, winning a trophy, like a domestic trophy, and like fighting for the Champions League, which Arsenal has never won a Champions League. And slowly it became like his success was judged by not how many trophies he won in a season, not if he won a trophy in a season, but did he qualify for the Champions League? And it's like, his you see what I'm saying? His judge of success slowly mm-hmm. went down as their success slowly went down. And so, yeah, they have been on a steady decrease of performance, and it just simply doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. So that may be a team for people to want to watch if they're more into an underdog, and into an underdog that has the least likely to get relegated, but most likely out of these six teams.
It's interesting. I can't quite do it. I need a combination of an aesthetic that I value. I do not like the red. I don't like the cannon. I hate the white sleeves. I've heard on legendary soccer podcast, Men Blazers, they say like every soccer fan can be broken down into two categories, reds and blues. Like, do you like the color red or do you like the color blue? Mm-hmm. Like, ultimately, it can sort you out like that. I'm definitely on the blue side of that. I definitely feel that. So, You seem like a red guy.
Yeah.
There's a good push-pull dynamic between us here. I just can't get on board. I can't get on board. Any other final thoughts on them, pros and cons of supporting Arsenal, maybe for other people listening, not myself?
No, not really. I would like to be able to come back in our next episode and kind of maybe give a little more info on the supporter groups in the area, just so we can help teams out, help our listeners out with that. But I'm sure it's just a Google away, listeners. If any of these teams seemed like they're your cup of tea, these top six teams are definitely the most likely to have at least a gathering place that you can go to.
Yeah. So let me kind of, let's recap here on the top six. Mm-hmm. As I said at the beginning, I don't think that I can choose a top six team, but you told me to keep an open mind. I've taken that into account. I'm going to add the Spurs into my short list of teams that I'm considering for my international club.
Awesome.
Yeah, I will say this as a general recap of what I've learned here. If you have no morals, go with Man City. If you have no taste, go with Man United. Otherwise, I'm not going to fault you too much between the other four.
I like it. I can never hate on an insult for Manchester United fans, so I like that.
Yeah, so yeah, Spurs. I like the Spurs. I'll pull the Spurs along into my group, and then I think next episode we're gonna have to go a little bit further down the table. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far down we can go. I don't know if we can get into like 19, 20, 21 range, just because these teams you might not be able to trust to be in the Premier League, and I do think it matters to be able to watch these teams, but. Until next time, hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please rate and review us. Tell a friend if you don't mind. Anything else you want to plug, I'll probably get our Twitter handles out there. I am at Ivanowski NBA.
I am Blake Spells Bad.
Blake Spells Bad, and our podcast is at Rise Republic Pod. Hope you enjoyed this super long episode. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace.